This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to be happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative. This week, we'll talk about why you might take the Work Happier Challenge and how you can use a rubber duck to tackle a tough problem. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I am here in my home office in New York City, and joining me today from LA, where she is back from Fantasy Island, is my sister Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretch, I wouldn't be a true TV writer if I didn't mention that you can watch Fantasy Island Tuesdays on Fox at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And if you don't see it when it's actually being broadcast, where can you watch it later?
You can watch it on Hulu and Fox Now.
Yes, watch Fantasy Island. It is my big treat for the week every week.
Thank you, Gretch.
Now, before we jump in with our Try This at Home, we got some interesting updates from listeners.
Yes, we got an interesting one about listening to podcasts.
Yeah, Ruthie O wrote, in one episode, you suggested that completists, love that word, who are caught up on the podcast but wish they weren't, try your audiobooks. I recently listened to 40 Ways to Look at Winston Churchill and enjoyed it thoroughly. I look forward to reading your other books as well. However, I also suggest a re-listen of an earlier episode. On my walks, I often play Spin an Episode, reaching back into the catalog randomly by swiping repeatedly on the index of past episodes. Each one has been just as enjoyable the second time around. Aw, I experienced many an, oh yeah, I love that idea moment. And Elizabeth, I do this with some podcasts that I love as well.
Yes, it is so nice. And it's good to hear information again sometimes.
Yes, and it's great to hear, Ruthie, that you enjoy it so much. And I do think that this is a fun way to re-engage with a podcast where you're all caught up. A lot of times it's just as fun to listen to the old ones. I used to do that with Binge Mode in Game of Thrones when I was still in my super intense Game of Thrones period. And then we got a few more suggestions from listeners who are responding to, I guess also we could call this the chattiness challenge. This was in episode 339, we talked about a question from a listener. And in 332, we talked about other answers from listeners about what to do about a coworker who won't stop interrupting with chat.
Yes, Jen said, I also had a chatty coworker at a previous job. He loved to get a cup of coffee when he arrived at the office and then head over to my desk to sit and chat and chat and chat and chat. He was a very nice person, but just like the other listener, I did not have time for lengthy conversations and he did not pick up on my polite social cues. My solution was to place several large project notebooks in the chair, and it worked. He was surprised to find them there the first day, but I told him I was reorganizing. I made sure to place several books on the chair so he wouldn't feel like he could just move them and have a seat. Since he had to stand, it shortened our morning conversation to just a few minutes, and I didn't have to hurt his feelings. When he asked about the books a week later, I just told him I hadn't got around to moving them yet. when people have to stand, it usually shortens their stories.
Well, this is a very, very clever idea where you just make it much less convenient for the person to sit and chat with you. And kind of along the same lines, Heather had another way of using the sitting, standing, walking difference as a way to bring a conversation to a close.
Yeah, she said, I have a dear coworker I truly enjoy, but who also is an interrupter. I used it as a reminder to take breaks. When he would come by my cubicle, after a minute or two, I would say, you reminded me I need to take a water break. I would get my water bottle, walk with him over to the water cooler, and then either say I need to get back to X task or just let the conversation end naturally. Sometimes I would walk him back to his cube. This strategy definitely works best with someone you enjoy talking to, and I don't do it every time. If I'm truly busy, I just tell him I can't talk right now because I'm prepping for an upcoming meeting call, etc., and that I'll check in with him on my next water break. He thinks I'm a stickler for only breaking on break time, but I'm okay with that label.
This is also really ingenious, and I think might work better for the original question because they sat next to each other.
Yes.
So he's already sitting. But I think if she stood up, just sort of like, oh, let me stand up and stretch or let me go walk and get water. Like if you're both on your feet, then it makes it seem like, well, now when we want to sit down again, this we're sitting end. Back down to our tasks.
Yes. Yes, very elegant solutions.
Very elegant solutions. And it's also a good way to remind yourself to stand up and get a little moving around break. So
yes.
So keep them coming. We love hearing from listeners and hearing everyone's very imaginative solutions to these very common challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of challenges that we might face at work, this week our Try This at Home tip is to do the Work Happier Challenge.
Okay, now what is that, Gretchen? It's very intriguing to me because, you know, I love to work happier.
Yes, indeed you do. So, we often hear from people who want to be happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative at work. And, you know, September is the other January. And as the summer comes to the end, work routines shift, people are sort of gearing up. It's a great opportunity to consider how the way we work lines up with our own nature, our own interests, our own experiences, like our own preferences. So I created this 7-day SMS challenge, like a text challenge, and it will prompt you with a series of distinctions to help you think about the way you like to work. And by knowing the way that you like to work, you can build a work life that's happier for you. And then also by kind of thinking about these distinctions, it might make you more aware of how people might be different from you and why their preferences might be different, or maybe why you don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. It's like, oh, now I get it. Because we have this different way of working.
And we should mention, Gretchen, this text challenge is totally free.
Yes, it's totally free. So if you're intrigued, what you do is you text the word work happier with no space, just work happier, to the number 1-844-934-1913. And of course, I will put a link to that in the show notes. And you'll get a follow-up message to confirm. And then when you confirm, that's what will start the 7-day challenge for you. And it's just meant to help you think about distinctions, how people are like you, how people are different from you, and just even to notice things about yourself. Listen, we talk about this all the time. It's so hard to notice kind of glaring truths about ourselves.
Partly because, like, if there is a truth about yourself, you don't realize other people may not also be that way. And so that leads to the conflict, right?
Right. Or like what happens a lot is you assume, well, if I'm one way and I do my best work in one way, well, then if everybody worked the way I did, then it would be great and then they would have better work. And like an example of this, and I don't want to give away everything that's on the challenge, but one thing is larks versus owls. Like some people truly are morning people and some people truly are night people. And I know that for myself, before I really understood this, I used to constantly badger people, just get up early and cross something off your list. Or if something's important to you, do it first thing when you're fresh. And now I realize that's true for like 40% of people. And then there's some people who are kind of in between, but 30% of people are owls and they do not do their best work first thing in the morning. And that is not a good strategy for them to tackle something that's important or challenging. And so it's not that it's not good advice, but like if you have a coworker who keeps saying like, gosh, let's move the staff meeting later when everybody's really awake. And you're like, no, let's do it first thing when everybody's fresh. Well, you're both right.
Yes. Yeah. My husband, Adam, is an owl. And I mean, he just is.
Yeah.
And nothing will ever change that.
Yeah. No. And so the question is, and sometimes there are things you can change and sometimes there's not. Sometimes you cannot make changes, but sometimes you can reorganize things or talk to people about how you might set something up that would work better for a whole team of people who have to work together rather than assuming there's one right way or one best way. And another example, and again, I won't give away any more because part of the fun is thinking about them, is the difference between integrators and compartmentalizers. And we've talked about that on the podcast before. Integrators are people who like to blend work and life together. They will have a social lunch in the middle of a work day. They might answer work emails on the weekends. They want, you know, they like mixing it up. But then compartmentalizers, and I have a friend who's such a compartmentalizer, like he wants work to be work and not work to be not work. He doesn't like to mix people up. He doesn't like to work on the weekends. He doesn't do any personal things during his work day. That's just the way he likes a very, very clear separation.
Yeah, Gretchen, on that topic, I think I'm an integrator just because having a work partner who's also a friend kind of makes you an integrator just by definition. Yeah. But I will say I would rather stay late at work and get something done than have to come home, take a 2-hour break, and then get back to it.
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, I think it's just about understanding why someone might be approaching something differently from you. Or like if it's a manager kind of trying to steer you in a way that feels wrong for you. Mm-hmm. Or people talking about things like, oh, you need, you know, better boundaries. And maybe you're like, well, yeah, I need boundaries. But maybe the kinds of boundaries that are really important to you look different from the kinds of boundaries that feel comfortable to me. And so it helps people understand like why people might have a different perspective.
Yes.
And how changes might help.
Yes. It really can. If you understand how the people work in your office, it can absolutely lead to more productivity and less conflict.
Yeah. The nice thing about these questions too is I think they're kind of fun to talk about with your coworkers, like just as even kind of icebreaker questions or just kind of like fun, you know, these fun things to talk about. And then it actually is very useful because then you're like, the next time they do something that mystifies you, you're like, oh, I got it. You're like, that person's coming from a different place. Or if you're like the boss and you're like trying to work out some issue that's come up in a team, you can think about why that might be. So again, if you want to do this, I had a lot of fun creating it. So I hope people find it useful. You text work happier, no space, just work happier to 1-844-934-1913. And I'll put it in the show notes. And let me know if you try it, if it helped you to work happier. As always, let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or you can go to happiercast.com/342 to get that number to text or for anything related to this episode.
Yeah. I'm going to do it with Sarah. That'll be fun.
will be fun.
I'm excited. And it's free.
Yes.
Coming up, we've got a rubber ducky happiness hack. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Now, we all love a rubber duck. Have a little rubber ducky. My mother-in-law has a little miniature rubber ducky collection. And here we heard from a listener about a very ingenious way to use your rubber duck to solve problems.
Yes, this comes from Tony. He says, I just heard your story in episode 322 about your daughter being rattled because of a concept in biology until she talked through it and suddenly figured it out on her own. Maybe you've heard of this, but there's an idea in computer programming called rubber duck debugging. When you're fighting with code that doesn't work, you explain it out loud to a rubber duck that's sitting on your desk. Very often it works. It has the added benefit of not needing to interrupt a coworker for help. Of course, it also works outside of software development, and it's become a common phrase around our house when my children are struggling with something. That is ingenious.
That is ingenious. And I looked it up to see, like, is this like a thing that is, you know, common? And Wikipedia says, many programmers have had the experience of explaining a problem to someone else, possibly even to someone who knows nothing about programming, and then hitting upon the solution in the process of explaining the problem. In describing what the code is supposed to do and observing what it actually does, any incongruity between these two becomes apparent. More generally, teaching a subject forces its evaluation from different perspectives and can provide a deeper understanding. By using an inanimate object, the programmer can try to accomplish this without having to interrupt anyone else. Well, they say the best way to learn something is to teach it, yep. And this is an aspect of it.
Well, it's funny, Gretchen, because I am that person who the second I hit any sort of snag, I'll be like, Adam, this isn't working. Can you come over here? And then, like, even by the time he's come over there, it's like the solution has presented itself. So I could definitely benefit from the rubber duck.
Well, it's sort of this, it's also related to the idea of identify the problem, that by identifying the problem, the solution becomes clear. Well, it's interesting because for my book about the five senses, I had read research that shows that people can help just by listening. Mm. There are studies that show that when mothers listened without offering advice or criticism while their children explained solutions to pattern recognition problems, the children markedly improved their problem-solving ability. And for adults, researchers found that listening to an attentive listener generated better solutions than when they were coming up with ideas in isolation. But what I don't know is, did they compare the difference to just having an actual listener, or was a duck just as well? Like, could you actually just talk to an inanimate object as if it were a person?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Rubber ducks are whimsical, and we like whimsy.
That's true. Keep one on your desk. Give one to your kids, and then you don't have to yell for someone to help. I thought that was a great suggestion. So thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Now for a happiness stumbling block. Now this is a stumbling block that's very familiar, Elizabeth. I know you and I have talked about this before, that we experience the stumbling block, but it's one of these things where it's kind of nice to know that it's actually a real thing that scientists have studied, and there's a name for it, and it's not just like your own peculiarities. And it's something called the first night effect, which is a good name for it.
Yes,
you can probably figure out what it is just from hearing the name.
Yes.
Yeah. It's when we're sleeping in an unfamiliar setting for the first time, it is very likely that it will take us longer to drop off to sleep, and that the sleep we finally do get will be broken and unsatisfying.
Yes. I have definitely experienced that many times, Gretchen, in hotel rooms or if you'd rent a house somewhere.
Yeah. Well, according to sleep scientists who've tried to figure out why we experience this, it seems that one side of our brain stands guard and is on the alert whenever we find ourselves in unfamiliar surroundings, and that keeps us kind of on the edge. And they say, you know, over time, people probably adjust, and that people who travel a lot may not necessarily experience this as much. They may not have the same issue, but if you don't often find yourself in an unfamiliar place, it's something to know about.
Well, it's funny, Gretch, because, you know, I spent so much time in Puerto Rico recently.
Yeah.
And so I was there for a long time, and then I came back home for like 3 weeks, and then I went back. And when I got back to Puerto Rico, they gave me the exact same room.
So on purpose
I think it was coincidental. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But what's funny, because I didn't ask for it, but what's funny, when I walked in, it literally felt like coming home. It did not feel like coming into a hotel room. It was like, there's my sink, there's my bed, there's my TV.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that first night effect, because it just was like, okay, I'm in my second home.
Right, right. It's just good to know that you might be experiencing it if you do experience it. And then maybe sometimes you don't. Like, I think people probably who travel, who often go to a city for work travel, I have heard of them like requesting the same hotel room. And maybe that's why. It's just like you, it starts to feel like a home away from home.
Yes. Also, Gretchen, just if you know this about yourself, you can work it into your plans. Like, you can understand why your kids or you or your partner might be grumpy, you know?
Yeah, the next day.
Yes. And you can just sort of plan, maybe don't hit the ground running early the next morning after you arrive, you know, give yourself a little time.
Yeah.
Knowing this phenomenon.
Because you might think like, oh, we'll be so tired from traveling, we'll sleep really deeply, and then we'll wake up refreshed. And then you have that feeling of like, oh, but I didn't have a great night's sleep, and I feel it. Now, related to this, and this is not first night effect, but I just wonder, Elizabeth, if you have this too. I have first day-itis, and Eliza and Eleanor and I have talked about first day-itis, which is anytime I'm in a new place, I always feel kind of unsettled and homesick. This is even when I go to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of feel restless. Mm-hmm. And then the next day when I wake up, I'm fine. But it's I now take it into account that the first day I'm in a place, I'm just going to feel just kind of like I can't really settle down. I can't explain it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It really helps if you get somewhere early. Like if I get to Kansas City at 11 a.m., well, then by the next day, it feels like I've been there a month.
Yeah.
But if I come late at night, you know, then it's different.
See, I almost feel better. I almost always come in the day just to have the day, but I almost prefer not to have that first day because I don't love that first day.
Interesting.
That feeling. But what I have found is that it helps to have plans, that if I have a lot of plans, then I don't feel that restlessness. I don't know. I don't know what the first day-itis is. Well, let us know if you have experienced first night effect or first day-itis. Again, first night effect is something that scientists have researched. First day-itis is just something that I feel.
Okay, Gretchen, it is time for a four tendencies tip.
Yes, I love talking about the four tendencies. And we're going to talk about the, you know, upholders, questioners, obligers, rebels. Again, if you do not know what we are talking about, take the quiz. You can go to my fabulous new hub, my new and improved hub, which is all about the four tendencies. You can find the quiz there and all kinds of resources. That's at gretchenrubin.com/four tendencies. And that's F-O-U-R spelled out, four tendencies. But assuming you're already well-versed in the four tendencies, a question that we often get in different ways is, as an obliger, how do I find ways to meet my expectations for myself? How do I meet my inner expectations? I know I need to create that outer accountability. That's what obligers need. But given whatever expectation you want to fill, sometimes it can be challenging to think of, well, what's the kind of outer accountability that is going to work for that issue?
Yes. And this solution is ingenious. It comes from Bree. She says, I am an extreme obliger who all too often neglects myself when left to my own devices, but I thrive off being able to help others. I recently came out of a long year of severe anxiety and depression, which I have come to realize was a result of my extreme self-neglect. I have since been on a journey to rebuild myself and find purpose in life. I'll spare you the long spiritual story behind this, but I recently joined the Be the Match registry for bone marrow and peripheral stem cell donation. Since I made the decision to sign up, I have been so much more conscious of my health because I do not want something to happen to me that would disqualify me from being able to donate. Talk about accountability. My commitment to provide for someone else has ultimately kept me focused on my own health, and I was very happy to recognize this.
Well, I think this is such an interesting way to have accountability because I think something that a lot of obligers struggle with, and Elizabeth, you're an obliger, yes, is sort of that taking care of yourself thing. Mm-hmm. It can often get pushed to the bottom of the list. And this was a way to create a sense of outer accountability that really benefits Bree. I mean, she's the one, yes, who's going to have all of these health benefits effects from all this, everything that she's doing to stay healthy. But by invoking it in this way, she's given herself a way to stay on track.
Yes, it really is ingenious, as I said.
Well, and I've heard from a lot of people where, like, they quit smoking because they got pregnant and they think, well, now I have to quit smoking. And then once you've quit smoking for 9 months, then it's a lot easier to, like, not start up again.
Yes.
Or, you know, just the knowledge, like, I'm responsible for someone else means that I need to take care of myself. It's that whole thing about putting on your own oxygen mask first so you can take care of someone else. I think that really resonates with obligers because it's that feeling of like as an upholder, I'm like, you should just take care of yourself because it matters to you. It doesn't matter if it matters to someone else. It matters to you. But for an obliger, this is actually a very, very helpful thing to invoke.
Yes. You know, Gretchen, I love the Real Housewives. And I have to mention here that a Real Housewives of Orange County said she got pregnant. She had 7 kids to keep herself from drinking too much.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a real phenomenon.
Wow. Well, we love these tips. Keep them coming because we love to share 4 tendencies tips because each of the tendencies has so many ingenious, imaginative ways to harness the powers of their tendencies and to get around kind of the quirks and limitations of their tendencies. So it's always so fun to share those.
Coming up, I give myself what I'm calling the zombie demerit. First, this break. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Okay, Alyssa, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and I'm intrigued by a zombie demerit.
Yes. So, Gretchen, now I have some downtime at work. Now, I'm not totally done with work, but, like, there are days where I only have, say, an hour of work to do or 2 hours, or, you know, so I have downtime.
Right.
And let's take last Friday, for example. I was done with my work at, like, 11 a.m., okay?
Oh, wow.
So I had the whole day out in front of me. And rather than lay in bed and read or even do errands or whatever I chose to do, instead, I just sat on the couch in my office playing Two Dots and watching CNN. I mean,
That is your go-to zombie thing.
Totally. Yeah. And it's not even relaxing. It's not particularly enjoyable. It's not productive. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is accomplished at the end of that. And it was a bad feeling at 6 p.m. to be like, oh my gosh, I just spent 7 hours sitting on my couch playing Two Dots.
Now, at the moment, were you aware this was happening? Did you try to kind of figure out a way out of the zombie mode?
Well, I will say I texted one person to ask if she wanted to go for a walk, and so she couldn't. So had she said yes, I would have, you know, been like, okay, meeting for a walk, and done that and been out of it. But since she said no, I'm like, well, that's that. Like, I tried. I didn't text somebody else. I didn't, you know, go for a walk on my own and listen to a podcast as I could have done.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird state of being.
Well, it seems like you've gone through the super intense work period. You need to do things that are restorative, but in a way you're sort of too burned out to do the things that are restorative.
Yes.
You could text one friend, but you didn't have the, like, your gas tank was too low to, like, go to plan B, plan C, plan D.
It's funny you say the word restorative, because I literally have Googled, like, restorative yoga, which is a thing.
Ooh.
And, like, looked up, where is this restorative yoga in Encino? Are they doing it in person? But then, like, the idea of actually, like, going through with it feels, you know, overwhelmingly difficult.
I mean, but the problem, maybe this is because I am a happiness bully, but, like, I feel like I could give you a list of 20 things that would be restorative. But the problem is you need to be restored in order to be able to do them. You're like, it's how do you get to that point?
Yes. Or making gazpacho. I want to make gazpacho. I enjoy gazpacho and I actually can make it, but I'm like, oh, going to the store and having, you know, to get stuff to make gazpacho. It's just, all I want to do is play Two Dots. I don't even want to do it. Let me say all I can do.
Well, and see, the problem with that kind of zombie mode is that they aren't restorative.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, I'm just going to, like, lie in bed and reread Harry Potter and that's going to make me feel better, because that would make you feel better, but you're not even at that point right now. So well, so let's ask for listener suggestions. When you find yourself in zombie mode, what do you do to restore yourself, which are not the things like look up a new yoga class and go do yoga, which, you know, maybe would be a good idea, but is not what you're going to do.
Yes. Please, listeners, help.
Yes.
Help me.
See, I wish, this is when I wish I could just, like, drive over to your house. And,
oh, I know.
You know?
But, like, I've thought, like, I wonder if Gretchen would fly to LA just to work on my office, which is its own situation.
Okay, we're going to talk about that later. I cannot wait. Literally, I'm licking my chops to get my hands in your office, because you're just always the most satisfying before and after. What I like is how many, like, empty shoeboxes or whatever you'll have lying around. I'm like, okay, that, like, takes 5 minutes and half the clutter is gone. There's a lot of lying fruit with you.
All right, Gretch, what is your gold star today?
Well, I think a lot of people will join me in this gold star, because I want to give a gold star to all the teachers. We are at the start of a new year. Many people have already started, been going for a while, but, you know, everybody's sort of on a different schedule all across the country. But for all of us, this feels like the start of a new school year. It's a weird school year. It's been weird for a while. It's still weird. And I just give a gold star to all the teachers for everything that they've done to really, you know, help our kids do all the learning. And school is so much more than just even learning. And the teachers are just such an essential part of that. So gold star to all the teachers.
I will second that. Gold star.
The resources for this week. In episode 331, I talked about how I'd be creating some new products. Well, the day has come. If you go to the-happiness-project.com/collections, you will see everything that's available for purchase. There's apparel, there's drinkware, there's stickers. So if you already have your water bottle and you don't want to buy a new water bottle, but you just want to kind of like put your own spin on it, there's stickers there or like on a laptop. And thank you to everybody who wrote in and said what they wanted to see. That was super fun. And I want to do more things. So stay tuned.
Gretch, what are we reading this week?
Yeah, I am reading Blind Man's Bluff by James Tate Hill.
And I am reading Vanderbilt, The Rise and Fall of an American Dynasty by Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, we're looking forward to our conversation with him coming up.
Yes.
And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Try the Work Happier Challenge. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please rate and review us and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. That really, really does help us.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, speaking of four tendencies tips, I was talking to someone this weekend and she was saying, well, I can tell someone 10 times what they should eat, but that doesn't mean they're going to eat it. And I was like, am I going to launch into the four tendencies right now or am I not? And I will say I did not because I was like, this is too big of a conversation.
Right, right, right. Oh, I love it. From the Onward Project.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.